Amen. Good morning, Rhema. Amen. Good morning to the people of God. Amen. I thank God for allowing me to stand before you and speak his word. I know I often say that, but I don't take it lightly. Amen. It's a blessing to be able to speak God's word. Many people that are speaking God's word are being thrown in prison and being beaten. I'm just saying that it's a blessing to stand here and tell of the good news. Man, are our classes dismissing or are we staying? Staying. Amen. Amen. Again, we want to keep the Moors lifted up in prayer as they are traveling back from the funeral services of Brother Moore's mother, who recently passed away. Also pray for Sister Moore. She's having back issues, so we want to keep her lifted up in prayer. When I seen her, she was struggling walking because of her back, so just keep her lifted up in your prayers. Turn to Jeremiah. Amen. Turn to Jeremiah. My son is getting a kick out of this because his name is being said. And he's just all smiles right now. In case you all didn't know, it's all about him. Jeremiah, the first chapter. I'm reading from the King James Version, starting at the fifth verse. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, said the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nation and over the kingdoms to root out and to pour down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Amen for the reading of God's word. Amen. Jeremiah was set aside before birth to take a message to the nation, urging a change of heart and turning to the one true God. His message still applies today. Many of us who read and studied Jeremiah or was in Bible study, BTU, or whatever, you know him as the weeping prophet because he cried tears of sadness, not only because he knew what was about to happen, but because no matter how hard he tried, the people would not listen. Jeremiah didn't find any human comfort. God had forbidden him to marry or have children, and his friends had turned their backs on him. So along with the burden of the knowledge of judgment, he also must have felt very lonely as well. The people of Israel had become so hardened by the numbing effects of sin that they no longer believed God, nor did they fear him as well. Imagine Jeremiah preached for 40 years and not once did he see any real success in changing or softening the hearts of or the minds of these stubborn people. Imagine preaching 40 years and you don't see any results. And man, some of us want to give up on the first day if we don't see any immediate results. But he preached for many years and didn't see any results. And that's enough to frustrate you. But thanks be to God, he kept going despite no one wanted to repent. The other prophets of Israel had witnessed at least some success, for a little while. But Jeremiah didn't get that type of success. It was almost as if he was talking to a brick wall. When he was talking to people, y'all know how it is. You know, some folks you don't get no response from them, regardless of what you say to them. They just sitting there looking at you, and you want some type of reaction or some type of amen or something. You know, kind of like when I'm up here preaching. You know, I mean, I want you to say something to me. Talk. Hey, that's a prophet. Darrell said, talk back to me. Y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. And man, you want some type of response when you are up here preaching and teaching your heart out. Amen? And man, you want somebody to look alive. You don't want to look out there and see folks nodding off in sleep. I mean, that'll do something to you. But when you see people on the edge of their seats and you see that they are into the word, it gives you that to make you want to preach a little bit. Amen. So, but Jeremiah didn't get that. He had folks that just was looking at him and just continued to do what they were doing. And despite him preaching his heart out, the people still didn't listen. They were pearls being cast before swines, in a sense. They were convicting every person who heard, and they refused to heed the warning. Kind of like today, we can preach and teach and talk to people about what thus said the Lord, and folks just seem to just still go in the opposite direction of what God is saying do. Jeremiah tried to make the people understand their problems was a lack of belief and trust and faith in God. And we think that, God is just going to do it. Amen. We start talking about God, you know. So Jeremiah was, check this out, born into this problem. Amen. He was born into this problem. Whenever a person is born, he or she arrives in a world that has ongoing processes and issues. Amen. My children were born just a few years ago. They were born into this. We don't want to talk to a prophet because, see, when a prophet talks to you, the prophet is going to give you what God is saying. And the prophet is going to speak to you the word of God. And they're going to tell you, thus said the Lord. And they're going to confirm it with some things that only you are familiar with. Amen. They're going to tell you about some things that you and God know about. So, in other words, people, when they get to talk to a prophet, you see, folks start hiding. Folks, when they folks find out that there's a prophet in the church, they don't want to come to that church because they don't want the light shined on them. They don't want to be exposed. They don't want, you know, people in their business. But let me tell you something. A prophet is sent by God to do just what God say do. I mean, it may be to bring some good news. And it may be to bring some bad news. But keep this in mind. They are here to do a job. And when you hear the voice of God, all I can say to you is listen. So here's the thing. Jeremiah didn't ask to be a prophet or want to be a prophet.
Jeremiah knew very well that he wasn't qualified to be a prophet, but God made him a prophet anyway. Before you were born, I consecrated you and appointed you a prophet to the nation. God knew Jeremiah even before his body was formed in his mother's womb. There is a lot of dispute nowadays about whether an embryo is a human being or not. Here's a verse that should clear that up. Because God said he knew Jeremiah before he was born. When Jeremiah was a microscopic speck in his mother's womb, God knew him and consecrated him to be a prophet. In other words, God had his eye on us even when we were just microscopic specks. Just conceived in our mother's womb, he has a plan for our lives just as he had a plan for Jeremiah. Jeremiah was called from the womb to speak the hard truth to Jerusalem, a hard truth about the destruction of the holy city and the deportation of leaders to Babylon. Even before he is born, Jeremiah's vocation is laid out before him. Now, watch this. Two of the most significant people in the Bible are called even before they were born. Elizabeth and Zechariah are told that their child would be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth. John, who will be called the baptizer, is filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, you also remember Mary. She was told that the same Spirit would come over her and fill her womb with the one who will be called the Son of the Most High before they were even born. Amen. And you heard that, I believe there's a passage that said John the Baptist being in the womb leaped when he heard the good news. Amen. Before he was even born, he was shouting about the good news that was about to come. So these birth of God's provision for a people that was in need. Jeremiah and John and Jesus are gratefully received as the gifts of God for the people of God. Just imagine when Jeremiah went through all of those difficulties, how his thought must have encouraged him. You listen to this. If you are facing a lot of difficulties right now, know that God is with you. Because he knew you when you were in your mother's womb. He had all this planned out for you. God knows everything that you're going to go through. He knows everything that you're going to deal with. This is no surprise to God what you are facing today. It may be a surprise to you. It may have caught you off guard a little bit. But keep this in mind. It didn't catch God off guard. I know how sometimes, you know, when you watch the news and it says that, you know, this caught people off guard. They wasn't expecting this. How a tornado all of a sudden just touched down and it caught people off guard. Some people say, well, I was waiting for the sirens to start going off and things like that. But let me tell you something. It may catch us off guard, but you need to understand nothing catches God off guard. So everything that you're dealing with, everything that you're going through, even things that you don't even know right now, that you may be rejoicing for right now, and in a few minutes, your rejoicing may turn to sadness because you're looking at a tragedy that just happened, but you need to understand God knew about that too. That's not a surprise to God. It may be a surprise to you, but it's not a surprise to God. God knew how many people would be carried over into 2018. And he knew how many would make it. Think about this. God chose you before you were born, and his plan for your life will be fulfilled. So you don't have to be discouraged this morning. Listen, the timing of God is always perfect. God is never late. He's never early. He's always on time. And the life that you have, the times in which you live, and God's perfect choice, we're here in this city, in this state, in this year, in this church, by divine design. It's amazing you were born where you are born, grew up where you grew up, learned what you learned, so that God could use you now, today. God is working it out for you. God's got it under control. You have to believe that. Your life has meaning. Yes, you and I have some value. The world may not know what kind of value we have, but that is because only the one who created us really knows what we are worth. David hinted at this in Psalms 139:13, said, "For you created my innermost being. You knitted me together in my mother's womb." Now, some of you may have this version, "For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." You need to understand something. God knows every detail of you. The Bible repeatedly declares that every individual on earth has value. Every person that has ever been born has been born with the potential to do great things. God has created each and every one of us with the ability to change the world that we live in. Now, some people may say, "Well, I'm not the president, so how can I change the world?" You can change the world that's around you. Amen? "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew thee." The Bible repeatedly emphasizes that every child has value. Every child has potential. Every child is created in the image of God and is filled with possibilities. God tells us that when we become Christians, we become God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do God's work, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Amen. We need to understand that we are created to do God's work. You need to believe that today. We have that potential to carry out God's work because God has given us that kind of value. God tells Jeremiah, "Before you were born, I formed thee." That's a powerful statement for a person to make. But this is not just a person. This is a God who is speaking to his creation. That's the kind of God we serve. He's speaking to his creation. "I know all about you." I know sometimes we get bitter. We get upset. We get mad. And we get angry. That's fine. God put that in you. But for a positive way, not for anything negative. Because let me tell you something. What you speak negative, you will reap negative. But what you speak positive, you will reap positive. Jeremiah suffered from a condition I call spiritual nearsightedness. See, a lot of times, Jeremiah was like, "Hey, I'm just a child. Man, I can't do this." How many of you all have already condemned yourself and already disqualified yourself from doing something? I can raise my hand if you don't want to raise yours. Because I know I disqualified myself for a lot of things. Because I certainly felt like, why am I being called out to be the pastor? Why am I being chosen? Why? A lot of whining, ain't it? No thanking God. But let me tell you something. Jeremiah was basically saying, "Why? I mean, I'm just a child. I'm incapable." In other words, he's trying to say, "I'm not old enough yet. I'm not ready for it yet." That's an excuse that we use. But he suffered from a condition called spiritual nearsightedness. People who suffer from spiritual nearsightedness can only see so far. They can only see what is in their immediate area. God is, in other words, out of focus for them. His power is blurred for them. And as a result, they can only see their own abilities, their own strength, and their own weakness. So they can't see what God is capable of doing. It's no different than a person who wears eyeglasses. You know, if they take it off, they can only see so far. It's something that we need to understand as people, that we need to get this into our minds, that we need to stop looking at things as we see it, but we need to see things as God see it. We need to understand that what we are going through right now at this very moment is for God's own purpose. But we don't want to hear that when we're going through it. We okay if we came out of it. You can preach on preaching. But when I'm going through it, I ain't trying to hear what you're trying to say this morning, preacher. Preach another message, preacher. Because that one I ain't trying to hear this morning. I ain't on the same page, neither the same chapter or even in the same book. I'm outside this one. We don't want to hear that type of preaching. But I'm not going to give you a preaching that's going to say throw your hands up and give up. No, I'm going to say throw your hands up and grow up. That's what we need to do. We got a lot of half empty Christians. When things come our way, boy, you can definitely find out what that person is made of, and then you can go, Like Jeremiah, we can say, you know, I'm but a child, God. But no, God is, if you're a child, then God is trying to grow you up. Don't be afraid. God is trying to tell me, say, I'm with you. If I'm with you right now, I'm going to be with you when you come out. If I can see what you're going through in your mother's womb being formed and shaped, don't you know that I'm prepared for you when you come out? God is saying that I'm ready for this birth. I'm ready for this deliverance. I'm ready for you, Jeremiah, to answer the call that I have prepared for you. We need to understand this. Well, God basically is telling Jeremiah, you have value. You have potential because I gave it to you. I formed you for a purpose. And if I formed you for that purpose, then I'll give you the strength to fulfill your task. Y'all understand that? He said, I'll give you the strength to fulfill your task. That means that if God has given you something, you can even put it in the natural. If you've given your children something, that means you know their ability to do the task. The cure for spiritual nearsightedness is corrective lenses. Spiritual glasses that focus on God and see what he has and what he can do. Y'all understand that? We need to understand and see what God can do. If God has a goal or objective for my life, how can I fulfill it? How can I be the type of person that God created me to be? How can I be what God is calling me to be today? Well, let me tell you something. Before God called me to be a pastor, let me tell you what he did for me. God prepared me. In other words, you prepare yourself. How do a nurse become a nurse? Well, she goes to school, or he goes to school. They prepare themselves for the task. When God prepared me to be a pastor, he had already prepared me. What did he do? Well, let me tell you what he did. Number one, he called me and I answered the call. Okay? Now, I didn't immediately jump into a pastor's role, but I understood that God was working on me to be a leader in some capacity, in some way. But here's what God did. You know, down memory lane, God had me cleaning up the church. For starters, you know, you start. Start at ground level, cleaning up the church, doing the things that nobody really wants to do. I mean, nobody really wants to get their hands dirty. But God said, no, no, you don't get your hands dirty in this ministry. So God started me off with cleaning up the church faithfully. I mean, what the church tried to pay me, I gave it back. Amen. I gave it back to the church. Didn't want the salary. Just wanted to be in God's house. Amen. Just wanted to be a blessing to the Lord. Then from there, God had me to be on the usher board. Amen. And then from the usher board, God had me, you know, I was like president of the choir. Amen. I'm trying to get through this because my brother wasn't on the usher board. And it's kind of like therapy for me at this point. My brother was never on the usher board, but I was on the usher board and in the choir. How did he get away from that? I don't know. But my point is, God had me on the deacon board. Amen. Y'all see that? See how God bringing me through. God had me working in ministries. Had me as the superintendent of Sunday school. Working my way up. Understanding the business aspects of the church. Knowing how it functions. Then ordained me as a deacon and put me on the deacon board and then on the church board. Amen. God had me to understand the affairs of the church and the financial ministry of the church. God, in other words, already prepared me to understand what it would be like to operate and run a ministry. In other words, what I'm saying, through all the years, God is preparing you. You have to understand and you have to take note of everything that God is saying to you, because it may not mean anything to you now, but it's going to mean something to you later. Y'all understand what I'm saying? A lot of times we don't see the blessing because we are nearsighted. But if you look at it from God's perspective, God will refocus you and you will see the blessing that God is trying to do in your life. You can understand why you're struggling the way you're struggling on your job, or the way you're struggling in any particular area. It's because a lot of times God is saying, you have outgrown this and I'm trying to move you forward. Or God is trying to get you to grow up where you are. But that's the thing that we don't like. We like to just, basically, I like how Charles Stanley said, a lot of us just want to just skate on into heaven and just go back, bypass everything. And not go through anything. That's not going to happen. Not in this life. We haven't reached heaven yet. You ain't in your glorified body yet. So you're going to feel some aches and pains. And you're going to feel like not shouting sometimes. But praise him anyhow. Because you still got a shout in you despite how you feel. God knew that Jeremiah would lose one person in power of whom Jeremiah could rely on, and that was Josias. Josias wasn't there for him. But Jeremiah still had God. God knew that a hateful king would take the book that was Jeremiah's life work, ripping it to shreds and throwing it piece by piece into the fire. God knew how much Jeremiah would suffer for saying that God sent him to say, thus said the Lord. God knew that Jeremiah would be jailed, persecuted, and nearly put to death by the very people who should have been protecting him. Before he was formed in his mother's womb, God knew how hard life would be for Jeremiah. So don't sit here and tell me that God don't know how hard it's going to be for you. But God also knew how he would carry Jeremiah through all those troubles. See, God also knew that, yeah, Jeremiah, you're going to go through it, but I'm going to be with you every step of the way. Bringing you through each trouble, each detail of your life. I'm the Lord your God. I am with you. I will never leave you nor forsake thee. God had a gracious, loving plan for Jeremiah. And I guarantee you, however hard life on earth might have been for him, right now I bet you Jeremiah is rejoicing in heaven because God was with him every step of the way. And it's like I said to my wife the other day, I said, what looks like a tragedy to some people, when you see a person dead laying here stretched out, we need to understand on the other side, the angels are escorting us into the presence of God. So what we look at, or what man look at as a tragedy, God is looking at it as a celebration. So that's why immediately, as soon as a believer dies, they go straight into the presence of God for some celebration. So to the world, it looks like a tragedy. It looks like a loss. But to God, it is a life gained. So we need to understand, we need to start rejoicing when a child of God dies, because they made it over. They're celebrating. They're rejoicing. They got the party started for them. We're still on this side trying to get to where they are. But they are rejoicing in heaven, being where we want to be. So we need to understand something. Everything that we are going through right now is nothing compared to what we are going to endure in heaven. It's nothing. We need to understand something, that God is going to bless us. It could be in this life, and it surely will be in the life to come. But we got to stay the course. I understand, yes, it's going to be bad for us. Yes, it's going to be hard for us. Yes, it's going to be some tears. It's going to be some bloodshed. But understand this. God is still on the throne. So we need to understand this morning, before we were ever born, God knew all about us. He prepared us. He custom made us for this particular time in history. Don't you know that let me break it down to you this way. Many people are not going to read the Bible, but they're going to watch your lifestyle. Your lifestyle is going to basically help this person know that God is real. Because the one thing that they're looking for is to see how you remain calm under pressure. You don't know who's watching you, who's looking at you. You don't understand that. I remember I was telling to me another day, when my youngest brother was living, when he was growing up, he was watching me. He was making sure that, you know, as he was watching me, I was making sure that he was looking at what a man should look like. You understand what I'm saying? I made sure that I didn't do anything that was going to make him stumble. And the one thing that I do love about this fact is that he gave his life to Christ at a very young age. That is what was important to me, was that he gave his life to Christ. And the one thing that he didn't see me do, he didn't see me stumble. He didn't see me backslide. He didn't see me give up the faith. He continued to see me praising God despite of what I was going through. And yes, there were times where the old Ronnie wanted to show up, but I had to crucify that person. I remember my mother gave me a phone call, and I told her, I said, before she called, you know, and I was, you know, around the family and everything. And I'm gonna tell you something, a mother knows their child. I'm gonna tell you that. And I remember my mother gave me a phone call. This was when, probably about, I don't know, maybe 15 years ago. My mother gave me a phone call, and my mother had a way of doing it. She said, "Are you all right?" I said, I wanted to say, "Why are you calling me?" Excuse me, I got to take a drink. I wanted to say, "Why are you calling me?" Because she knew her son. I was having some problems on the job, and I'm going to tell y'all, I was mad. I was about ready to go at it. I'm telling you. I was about to let everybody have it. And she knew my personality, because she remembered this little boy did go run away from daycare. y'all. This is serious, y'all. And so she called me, and she said, "Are you okay?" In other words, what she was doing, she was calming me down. Because the thing about it is, she was getting me calm. Because I'm going to tell you something. That flesh will rise up in you. I don't care how much you all see me. Oh, that's the pastor. Pastor shouldn't be getting mad. Oh, yes, I do. I'm a man when I step out of this pulpit. Y'all understand what I'm saying? When I'm away from behind this mic, I'm a man. I bleed just like you bleed. I hurt just like you hurt. Okay, that's why Jesus came down. I mean, God sent him. He felt what we felt. He endured what we endured. He wept like we wept. Amen? He went through what we went through. So don't do that to me. Amen. But she called me, and she wanted to know, how are you? And I said, I really don't want to go into work tomorrow. I said, because it was an attack on me. And I was angry about it, and I was upset about it. And it was not only an attack, it was false accusations against me that didn't stick. But it kept coming and coming and coming and lie. And it's one of those things that it was lies that you couldn't defend. Y'all understand what I'm saying? It was a lie that you could not defend. It's like saying, you know, you may have been there, but you're not a part of it. It's like sometimes when the police interrogate you, even though you have nothing to do with it, they'll ask you this question. Were you there? Yes, I was. Put your hands behind your back. But they didn't get the full story. Y'all follow what I'm saying? Lies. And so I was about ready to go in on it. Didn't care if I lost my job or anything. I was going to give them a piece of my mind. And I was going to tell them off. But you know what? I thank God for a Christian who can see the rage that's getting ready to take place. And they stopped it. Y'all understand what I'm saying? And God being merciful, quiet my tongue. Sometimes we have to understand something. We all go through. We all been there, done that. The best thing we want to do is go off on an individual. And I did have my say, what I had to say to those who had needed to be said. I didn't bite my tongue, and God knows that there's a bulldog in me as well. I said what I had to say to the leadership, and I didn't bite my tongue on it, but I was professional about it. And being professional about it, I want y'all to understand something. I'm still on the job. And the people who were doing all this, God removed them from my life. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Because I knew that I was in the right. But see, this is where I couldn't really defend myself. Are y'all listening to what I'm saying to you? I said I could not defend myself. But God intervened on my behalf, and he dealt with the situation because I couldn't defend myself. I'm telling you the truth. I could not defend myself. But God did. God intervened. God knew what was going on. God removed every last one of them from my life. Want to say last man standing? You're looking at him. This is what happens when you allow God to come into your situation. Yeah, well, I'm okay. God knows that you're going to get angry. God put that anger in you. But God put the anger in you for a positive, not for a negative. God wants you to get angry about some things, but he wants you to also to do some things about it. But God wants to just see where you are. I heard Justin Franklin say, he said, when you have been delivered, is when people put dirt on you and you don't get mad about it. You understand what I'm saying? See, when people are going to put dirt on you, and they're going to come at you, and they're going to come at you, and they're going to come at you. But through it all, y'all, I stayed the course. I didn't lose my integrity. I kept the faith. I didn't go in there and act the fool. You know, it's one thing how I could have went in there with my clown suit. You know, when people come in like this, they got the clown suit with them. Because this is how you carry something when you leave the cleaners. Am I right? Well, yeah, when you got your wardrobe with you, you come out of the cleaners like this. I could have went in the job like this. No, no, no. I went in the job like this. I said, Lord, it's on you now. I didn't surrender to you. I received the phone call to have mercy and keep my tongue. I allowed you, God, to fight my battles for me. We got to understand that God is trying to use you as an instrument. Maybe some people needed to be saved in there. That God wanted them to see how you react when you are put under pressure. God wants to see what you're made of. When you're put under pressure. And man, I told Minister Brown, I said, I'd love to see you mad. I did. I said, it's a blessing when you get mad. I said, because when you get mad, that's when her gifts come out. I mean, I'm here to tell y'all. When she gets mad, I mean mad. I wanted to make her mad before she got up here and preached. Because when you make her mad, that's when her gifts come out. You don't want her to come up here. No, you want her to come up here mad. Because she's going to preach a message. Those of you know what I'm talking about. Incredible Hawks, you ain't going to like me when I'm angry. God knows us. He knows all about us. There's nothing that any of us are going through right now that God is not aware of. There's no surprises to God. There's nothing that you can say or nothing that you can do that God would be like, oh, I wasn't aware of that. Oh, man, why didn't you bring that to my attention earlier? I could have dealt with the situation a lot better. This is not the type of God we're dealing with. God didn't wait till Jesus get on the cross and say, oh, he's going to die. Oh my God, he's really going to die. They put him up there. Oh my God. Oh, okay, let's see what we're going to do now. No, God already knew. He prophesied it. He said that a sacrifice is coming for the remission of sins. He already knew. He kept telling us in all the verses when they kept sacrificing these animals. God said there's a bigger and better sacrifice that's coming. I'm just getting you prepared and getting you to understand what a sacrifice is for and what it's meant to be. So when he sent the son, Jesus said, now remember all of those sacrifices that I did from Genesis to Revelation. Here it is. This is what I'm speaking about. So we need to understand that we serve a God that is aware of everything. Even before you leave here, God is aware of what you're going to run into and who you're going to run into. No surprises with God. No surprises. I understand that it's hard for us. What is not? But you need to understand something. One thing I like about the church is that, man, they kept rejoicing in the midst of their struggles. Yes, we got family members. I got some family members I would love to see saved, but I'm preaching to them. I'm talking to them. I'm living a life before them. We came from the same foundation, had the same teaching. How is it that I'm able to be a pastor and you still not? In the ministry. That stuff kind of, it gets to me. Don't get me wrong now. I had these feelings too. Jeremiah preaching for 40 years. He didn't receive any type of, oh man, all right, I got one over here. All right, now let's see. No, they all was going astray. I know sometimes, you know, as a pastor, I'm dealing with the whole flock. But when you're dealing with one person, if it's discouraging to you, imagine me dealing with the whole flock. We need to understand something. When you kneel and pray to God, God is aware of your prayers. Daniel, in Daniel chapter 9 and 21, he said while he was still praying, God sent his angel Gabriel to him. Dad, listen to what I'm telling you. This is what I always tell you all. You don't need no long prayers. That's for people who want to show out. I'm sorry, yes. And I'm glad this is recorded. Because people who do these long prayers. I'm going to tell you something. Why? Daniel, let me read it again. Maybe is it up there on the board? Let me read this. He said, while he was still praying, God sent his angel Gabriel to him. Yeah, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening obligation. Man, that's powerful. So while you are praying, God is already in action. God is already moving. In other words, I'm going to say this. God is already on the scene, ready to do work. Y'all understand the God we serve? It ain't like God has to come from a far distance. God is right here with us. This is why I say when you pray, believe in your heart and God is right there. You don't have to wait a long time. That's man-made for you. You pray and believe sincerely. That's why I want to focus on this praying for us. Because we need to understand what prayer is and what it will do for you. It will bless you. I want to receive a report that God has done it. Because that's the type of God that we serve. Before God even reached his destination, they said, Lord, it was already done. Why? Because he is God. Sometimes we need to understand this, that what we are going through is a lesson that God is trying to teach us. Sometimes it's a difficult lesson. Sometimes it may be a wonderful lesson. But you need to understand this. It is a lesson that we need to go through and that we need to learn the lesson. Because one thing I'm going to tell you about this. If you fail, you will repeat it. Y'all understand me? You will repeat it. I'm not going to even go there about progress reports. Because you need to understand, when God gives you something to do, it is in your best interest to do it. It is in your best interest not to share it with everybody. Because everybody is not going to understand what God is speaking to you for that specific moment in your life at that time and purpose. I believe that if Jeremiah had said, well, I'm getting ready to prophesy to these people and tell them, why are you going to prophesy to these people? They ain't listening to you. There's still preaching needs to be done. There's still work that needs to be done. God still has to clean up. We need to understand that if you do not listen to the word of God, you will repeat that same situation. There's a lot of people that I know that are repeating the same thing over and over again. It is because they have failed that same test. As long as you continue to fail, you will continue to repeat it. And people want to come and try to say, well, I'm doing this and I'm doing that. Well, no, tell me what you're not doing. Because I can tell you what you're not doing. No matter what your needs are, God knows. It's like I said with my children, when they get up in the morning, we already know that they're going to need to be clothed. We already know that they're going to want to eat. We already know that. So we can deal without the whining. But they, let me say this. You people think that they were custom designed to wine. No, you were not. We were custom designed to praise God. Regardless of what situation we may be in, we were custom designed to praise God, regardless of our situation. When our children get up in the morning, my wife and I, we work as a team. We already know what they want. See, we work as a team because we are one. So we already know what they want, but they still give us the whining. And I look at that as God's children. God is already in need and aware of what we need, but we still give him the whining. Y'all understand that? We still give it to him. Despite the fact that we have everything that they need of right there in the storehouse. But yet our children give us the whining. No, you don't hear no. Every now and then you hear thank you or I love you, but more so you hear the whining. See, here's the thing, and I'm going to say this as I close. Most of us are slow learners. It is what it is. When I grew up in District 189, they had an A, B, C, D group. Amen. I'm just telling y'all like it is. That's the group that they had. They had you categorized based on the roles. You don't sit over here. This is the A group, meaning that this is the group that don't need much. The B group, you can kind of lead them along too, but still know that they're there. The C group, you may have to give them a little bit more attention. The D group, this is where you spend. I wonder why the teacher was on that side of the classroom all the time. Because there's people within the classroom that are slow learners. They just don't get it. This is the way that God was dealing with the children of Israel. They just didn't get it. God is teaching us. And I want you to understand something. God is saying, I know that I formed you. I know that I created you. I even know that the mess that you was getting ready to come into. But God is saying that I custom made you and designed you for this specific time and place. Y'all understand me? Designed for this specific time and place to do my business. So I'm telling you today, regardless of what you're facing and regardless of what you're struggling with, God is aware of it. He designed you for this specific moment, this specific time in your life to do his work. God is aware of it. He was aware that the children of Israel were working off the clock in Egypt. He made sure that when they left, that they got all that back pay. Amen? When they left, he made sure that they got that back pay. Why? Because he, God, is the record keeper. So he was aware of everything that was going on in Egypt. He kept record of it. Y'all know how sometimes people can't keep good record of their time, saying that they were working and they really wasn't working? That's why they put a lot of folks on salary. Amen? Because they know you're not working. Amen? I'm just saying. You know, some of y'all saying y'all getting overtime and it's like you ain't even did nothing. So what I'm trying to get you to understand, God is aware of everything. He will make sure that you get what is coming to you. Amen.